This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
I am your first bad idea having host. My name is Gabriel Urbina.
I am your second bad ideas having host. My name is Sarah Shackett.
And I am lucky number three, Zach Valenti, at your service.
Welcome all to the game where we find articles, news pieces, etc. about the worst things that humanity have done, unleash them upon our unprepared co-hosts, and then we give each other 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, to try to turn them into stories that are worth listening to and paying
or
attention
seeing,
to.
Or seeing, or reading, or anything, really.
We hope, no guarantees.
Exactly. I was about to say, the most important part of that sentence, though, is that we try.
This is triple underlined try. An artistic experiment.
Yeah, no, we do not subscribe to that Yoda bullshit of like do or do not. There is definitely a try here. Yes.
You are try guys, in fact.
Oh.
See what I did? Anyway.
And there are three of us.
Anyway, I'm going to go first since I made that awful pun. I think it's only fair.
Pay for that pun.
Yeah, that's right. Be suitably punished.
Oh. It hurts.
Hold your horses for just a second. So this idea, gentlemen, comes to us from National Geographic.
Oh.
They have a weird and wild vertical.
Oh my
apparently.
God.
Oh, wow.
And I would also like to say that this idea also comes to us via a former guest and friend of the show, Julia Schifini.
Excellent, excellent.
Fantastic. Julia. Thank you, Julia.
Yes. Who posted this on her Twitter, and it was so delightful that I had to bring it in. So the title of this article is, "Should Pablo Escobar's escaped hippos be allowed to run wild?"
Wow, what did that man not have?
It's a good question.
And how long have they been escaped? And is escaping not running wild?
Here is, I have the answer to your questions.
Amazing.
Let me read the article. The subheader is also equally delightful. Some scientists think Colombia's, quote, cocaine hippos, end quote, could help fill in for long extinct megafauna, while others argue that they should go.
Wow. So this is like a legitimate debate. Like
this is apparently a thing.
Oh my God.
When the notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar was shot dead in 1993, the Colombian government took control of his luxurious estate in northwestern Colombia, including his personal zoo.
Hold up. So these hippos have been around now for like over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. The time to have this debate was a while ago. Like yeah. These hippos have now installed themselves.
Have you
there
ever
now.
Tried to uninstall a hippo? That's my question for you.
And I'm saying, like, wow. I think that, like,
Colombia has had other things it needed to do.
Sure. But I'm just saying, like, this feels like this is an interesting academic debate, but perhaps the time to do something about it was somewhere around 1994.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Most of the animals were shipped away, but the four hippopotamuses.
You don't hear that every day.
Yeah.
Of which Escobar was especially fond, were left to fend for themselves in a pond.
God.
Now, there are dozens of them.
Whoa.
Bring it on, crocodiles.
A decade, the Colombian government has been pondering how to best curb the growing population.
Holy shit.
A strategy largely supported by conservation experts. But not everyone is on board. Without direct evidence that the animals are doing harm, some ecologists argue that there's no reason to cull or relocate them.
Yeah.
Indeed, the hippos could fill in for species that humans pushed to extinction thousands of years ago.
That's
an
right.
idea that is known as rewilding.
Ooh.
When the hippos were left behind, it accidentally kicked off a rewilding experiment that has now been running for 25 years.
Man.
The first result of this experiment are trickling in, and much like the large animals, they're muddying the waters.
Oh.
The hippos have escaped from Escobar's former ranch and moved into Colombia's main river, the Magdalena, spread over a growing area. No one exactly knows how many there are, but estimates range from a total population of 40 to 60, says Jonathan Shuren, an ecologist with the University of California, San Diego, who studies the animals. Every year there are many babies, but it is unknown how many reach adulthood.
Wow.
The hippos present quite a problem for the government. David Echeverri, a researcher with the Colombian government's environmental agency, CONARE, I'm so sorry about all of these names, which is overseeing management of the animals, says he has no doubt they act like an invasive species. If allowed to remain unchecked, they will displace endemic animals like otters and manatees, he says. They also pose a danger to local residents since they can be territorial and aggressive, though no serious injuries or deaths have occurred. Thus ends the article. Whoa. With a conundrum.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's some statistic about, like, in terms of animals killing humans, hippos have the high score in Africa, right? Like, they do. Wow.
They are super deadly. And I am going to put a super short 10 minutes on the clock. Ready?
So I think
hungry hippos.
Oh,
I'm just saying, Battleship can
Grand
be a movie.
Grand tie-in, man.
Hungry hippos.
Oh, see,
can
now,
be a movie.
Now I'm conflicted because I was gonna say that, like, whatever this is, whatever the story ends up being, it should be called Rewilding, which I still really
that's
like.
That's a great,
title.
Yeah, it's a great
but
name. Yeah.
Hungry hippos, though. Get that branding
I'm
money.
I'm just saying, make that money. But this is reminding me. The other week I was watching on Netflix, there's some documentary sort of miniseries about gene editing and like the wild new world of genetics. And there is this wild segment, like just one little sliver of the show with this very angry man in his car in Australia, where they brought in some kind of frog that has just taken over. Like there's just like you drive down the road, there's like hundreds of these frogs. They're an invasive species. They're a blight on the land. And this motherfucker is like speeding up, swerving into the other lanes, like actually trying to rack up a high score, murdering these frogs because he hates them so
There's
much.
Actually
That's terrifying.
A fantastic YouTube video series I'm just tangenting right now about in Australia emus being like a really invasive problem for a while.
Damn.
And like the Australian military getting called in to fight emus.
Oh my god.
Damn.
But that's a story for another time.
Well, so yeah, so I'm just like I guess my mind jumped to that for tangent reasons. I guess I started it. But just imagining like an equivalent like rageaholism, except the thing can fight back because it's not a tiny toad.
Right. No, like I think that like the sort of it's right there, low hanging fruit. Any studios that are listening right now and want to get on this, you should give us a call because we will 100% write this movie for you. It's Jaws, but it's in the rainforest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like three hunters.
No, it's Jaws meets the African Queen,
that's
but in
right.
South America.
That's right. Yep. Exactly that. Yeah, no. Three hunters get sent on a boat down basically, you know, like the small part of the Amazon that is in Colombia, which I believe some amount of it is.
Yeah.
In order to hunt down this colony of escaped hippos. But you never know what's lurking under the waters. And
you don't know how many
it
there
could just
are.
Just be the third Jumanji movie. Like that could just be what it is.
Well, and it's one of those things that is like, what is the tone of it? Because there is a version of this that is starring Adam Snyder. What am I saying? That is starring Adam Sandler.
Right.
Where it's a lot of kind of, you
goofy.
Know. Yeah. And like the hippos are kind of like smacking them around and they're getting up and being like, I'm okay. Another smack. I'm still okay.
And then there's the Tom Hardy version.
Right. Where he's like you just like the movie opens with like giant fucking hippo. And all of a sudden you see a fist come out of its stomach.
Right. No, like I think that's the version of it, that there are multiple sequences where you go without any dialogue for like 5 minutes because just like there's something in the water, quiet, shot of the guns, shot of the water, shot of like man, sweat trickling down his brow. Like, when's it going to come out? When's it going to come out? Like, you know, a lot of kind of like more of a slow burning, you know, pot boiler.
Right.
Which one of those sounds more fun to y'all?
I mean, you know me. I always like some men into the heart of the jungle. Serious
sure.
story.
Yeah, so serious.
I just don't know sort of like, you know, what is the like character beat of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of
right.
Like,
is it just like a blood sport for like 90
right.
minutes? Like a sort of Kill Bill of hippos.
I mean, what would actually be interesting since hippos are so deadly is if it's like the blood sport sort of gauntlet of it is for the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's like a bunch of stupid movies. So I don't know why I'm suggesting this. But, you know, like the one with Jared Butler where he's technically like in like a being controlled by like a gamer kid and is a prisoner
God.
And is like that, you know, where it's just like, or, you know, any of those car movies where like it's a death race, but it's, you know, people who were sentenced to death anyway. So it's fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like having to go through this harrowing gauntlet of dangerous water life in the middle of the Amazon.
Got it. So now we're talking about kind of like dystopian future
yeah,
version of
kind
South
of a thing,
America.
Where there are thousands of these things.
Right. And it's kind of a like, you know, everyone, all the prisoners of the various crimes are kind of thrown in this like, you know, gigantic pit prison.
Right.
And then it's kind of a like, all right, we need some hippopotamuses killed. Whoever, you know, we're going to send some men downriver and, you know, come back. And as many hippo heads as you get, that's one less year that you need to do of the pit.
Right.
Jesus.
And so then it's kind of like, you know, Jaws meets Mad Max. Seriously, studios, we're free in December. If you want to buy this movie, we're around. Like, call us. We will write
it's
this
like
movie
the Hunger
for
Games,
you.
But
also,
with more hippos.
Also, if you know anyone who takes pitch meetings, let us know.
Yeah, no.
Because this is a very short pitch.
Yeah.
The Hungry, yeah, no. Hungry Hippos games.
Yeah. You know, you just like go in, you write like Jaws on the whiteboard. You write Mad Max under it. You put a plus sign in the middle.
And then,
any
the, hungry,
questions?
Yeah. And then the Hungry, Hungry Hippos board game. You're like, done. Done.
No, no, here's what you do. Wow, this is just devolving very quickly. You bring in a board game of the Hungry, Hungry Hippos. You put it on the table. You open it, and there's a Blu-ray of the Hunger Games inside.
Ah! All
see?
Right.
See? Studios, don't you want those exciting, but also very short pitches?
Okay, but, like, let's talk about, like, who the guys are, because yeah. it needs to be kind of
a group.
And I think that, like, there needs to be sort of the likable everyman.
Yes, the Chris Evans figure, if you will.
Right. And maybe this character actually did do something pretty bad to end up in prison, but he seems sense-making.
Yeah,
he seems likable. He seems kind of like someone that we can
an audience
and
surrogate
get behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Then I think there needs to be someone that is a great hunter, but is also like a psycho. Like someone where the main character is kind of like, I don't know if I...
Christopher Walken character.
Kind of, yeah.
Or, you know, Terry O'Quinn at the very least.
Sure. But someone where it's like, I am really, really actually concerned about whether I need to be more worried for my safety because of the deadly thing that we're hunting.
Or this guy.
Because of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the third
you
slot...
You need like a greenhorn, like someone who's very inexperienced, is in... the pit for reasons other than like violence.
Right.
Someone like, who seems like an odd fit.
Yeah. And someone that maybe needs a little bit of protection.
Yeah.
And maybe isn't able to kind of like pull as much of his own weight as they should be able to ideally. All right. Cool. This is getting to an interesting place.
And probably like a couple more. Or does three feel like a good number to you?
I think that three feels like the minimum viable.
Sure. Let's go
number.
With that then. Because there's only 2 minutes left on the clock.
Oh God. Okay, great. And I guess the next question is, are they going after, is it like as many hippos as they can? Or is it like, there's one particularly destructive hippo.
Right.
and they need to kill that one. But it is like the alpha hippo of this pack.
Right.
I mean, I think it depends on what kind of movie you want. I think it's definitely more of a thriller slow burn in my mind if there is one giant hippo at the center of the forest that they need to find. And like, if this is some dystopian thing, like maybe it's like, I don't know, by some ungodly, you know, genetic horror.
Mutation, there's just whatever.
Like, yeah, it's like the queen bee. It's like the only one that can reproduce. It's like, you know, sort of like the alien of the hippos. And so you've just sort of like cut the head off at the, you know, the sort of that stops the floodgates versus like a much higher body count. Like, what was that battle? No, I'm just thinking Starship Trooper. Like,
yeah,
there's just
like right.
constant
it's the
action.
Horde.
Yeah, right. And in so many ways, I feel like that's what we were sort of tossing around earlier on, but I'm down to throw that out for the more Jaws-y direction.
There's something that feels very bleak in a pleasing to my very evil brain way.
Sure.
Of there not even being a sense of, and if we kill this one animal, the problem will go away. Like it is, you know, like we're going to kill 30 of these to be free, but there's more where they came from. Like, you know, we're barely putting a dent on the problem.
Like isn't like meaningful in like a world changing way.
Right. And I think that then at a certain point, the tension just comes out of, we need to just get out of here alive. Like it is no longer kind of like, oh, we're going to commit to our objective. It is then kind of becomes, oh God, like, will we able to make it out of this rainforest?
Right. If the boat overturns and all the heads.
Death sentence.
Yeah.
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 Well, on that incredibly bleak note, that's time.
Well, all right.
That's the start
hungry,
of something.
Hungry death sentence.
Hungry death sentence.
Oh, man.
God. Yeah. But no, seriously, Paramount. We're around.
For all your hippo feature film needs.
You like Jaws. You like Fury Road. You like board games.
Also, PETA, we're sorry.
Yeah, no, also, we're very, very sorry.
And we do not condone the murder of hippos.
Yes. No, which is, I think, why it's important if we're doing a story like this to set it in
sort of an alternate world.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like these need to be sort of, you know, radioactive, mutated monsters rather than kind of like recognizable. Hell, they don't even need to be. Oh, no, we do need them to be hippos for the board game tie-in. All right, we're going to workshop this.
That's right.
Yeah,
We'll get back to you guys about this after we take a short break. Breaking into the show for just a moment, as we are wont to do, to let you know that there is, in fact, another show you can be listening to. Not right now. You should just continue to listen to No Bad Ideas. But after that, you should go check out Zero Hours. It is a fiction podcast anthology series that Gabrielle, Zach, and I wrote, directed, produced, made, along with a bunch of other really cool podcasters like Brigham Snow and Ellen Winter and the Bad Ideas Bat himself, Zach Labresco and Emma Sherjarko and all kinds of cool people. We're really proud of it. We think it's really fun. They are 7 stories about different versions of the end of the world because it's us and that's what we think is fun. So we would love it if you would check it out on your podcast app of choice, or you can also go to zerohourspodcast.com. And hey, if you're at zerohourspodcast.com, you can also check out our merch store where we have incredible posters, tote bags, t-shirts, mugs with the incredible title art that our graphic designer Michaela Buckley put together. It's mind melting, it's incredible, it's colorful, and it's for sale. To go directly to the store, that is zerohourspodcast.com/merch. 0 hours, check it out, it's pretty neat. Okay, let's get back to No Bad Ideas.
And welcome back, back, everybody.
Welcome, welcome.
I have the second idea.
I can see by the glint in your eye.
And I'm excited to follow up a theme.
Oh, dear.
Of cats.
Oh, dear.
From last week, except of a different proportion. Instead of a big cat, we got small cats.
Small cats.
From Fox News's Weird News, Odd News section.
Okay.
Texas shelter cat placed in solitary confinement.
No.
After repeatedly freeing fellow felines.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. So it's Chicken Run, but with cats.
You read my mind.
Artman.
Artman can do it.
No, no.
We're done. No. This is so good. This may be the most adorable story I found for this show.
Oh my gosh.
A cat at a Texas animal rescue is facing the prospect of purgatory.
Sure.
Yep.
This is just the pun episode.
Yep. There is actually pur-gatory. It's amazing. I love you, writer. I don't know who you are, but that alone, I'm easy. After being put in solitary catfinement.
Wow. This article is officially a bad idea.
Yeah. For freeing all the other felines in the shelter.
All of them. All of them.
It really is Chicken Run.
Seriously, Quilty 6 quote loves to let cats out of their senior room, out of the senior room, and was doing it several times a day, according to Friends for Life, an animal rescue and adoption organization based in Houston that apparently hates freedom.
Mm-hmm. No.
The group wrote in a Facebook post late last month that Quilty would repeatedly open the door of the senior room, described as a quote smart, energetic, laid back fella. Who can be shy, the cat's online bio states, quote, I do know that I like to open closed doors. When I see one, it challenges me, and I work hard to get it open, and I'm usually successful. There is a photo with a caption, Quilty, 6-year-old domestic short-haired cat, was freeing other cats from a room at the Freedom for Life shelter in Houston, Texas, several times a day before he was banished to the lobby. And the photo is really cute because he's looking out the window.
Aww.
Like, this doorknob's too high for me. The domestic short-haired cat's actions resulted in his banishment from the cat room to the lobby, where he took a, quote, brief hiatus. His roommates missed him while he was banished to the lobby. They enjoyed their nighttime escapades around the shelter, the group wrote online. The staff, however, did not miss the morning cat wrangling, so we'll just have to agree to disagree there. Aww. And there is a video embedded from Instagram, and let's see. There's a little bit more to this article, but it is long enough that we can leave the rest of it.
No, that's definitely something I'm going to click the link in the description
later on. Before he was allowed back in the room, Quilty had to enter the, quote, interrogation kennel to get readjusted. Quote, he is being a spicy a-hole now because he is, once again, contained, the shelter wrote.
Wow.
So we'll leave it there. It is an adorable article. This is an adorable cat. What a terrible idea to lock up a freedom fighter like Quilty. Just my opinion. I don't have to wrangle them, so I can be flippant.
Also, how exasperated do you have to be to call a cat a spicy a-hole on the social media feed that you run for a cat shelter?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like good luck getting that cat adopted. But 10 minutes on the clock.
Okay, so it's animated. It's probably... DreamWorks.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a Pixar joint.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Bunch of cats in, I'm not sure where they are, but somewhere like a shelter. We'll come back to why that may not work in a moment. The lead is sort of the smallest and most like adorable with the biggest, roundest eyes cat out of them all. But they don't want to be sort of around humans. They want to be free. They want to kind of break.
Get into their, or connect with their inner cat.
That's right. Connect with their inner tiger.
Right.
And so they're trying to organize a jailbreak, even though sort of everyone else around them is kind of going like, dude, Quilty, like you could have it all. Like you could be in the lap of luxury.
Right.
Come on. Now, the reason why I'm not sure that it can be a shelter is that I think that there needs to be genuine stakes. Like there needs to be sort of something bad that might happen
if they leave.
They don't stay there.
Or if they don't stay there.
Yeah.
Hmm. Copy. It's tough because like the stakes for a domestic cat are kind of the same anywhere if they're in a home or if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea.
Hmm. Yeah.
What if the preamble to the like just to set stakes up is he's rescued or Quilty or whatever the stand-in cat is rescued from the streets and there's some street cats that like want to do violence to this cat. So it's like staying in the shelter
keeps him away from the gang that is
after
him.
Yeah, from like the cat mafia.
Okay,
that,
okay.
That wants to put the, you know, the whatever screws.
Right, right,
the
right.
Cat mafia.
So then it's almost like more like one flew over the cuckoo's
then
nest.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
But then it should be a vet. Like, it should be a hospital.
Yeah, it should be a hospital.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
And he keeps having to, like, fake injuries in order to stay at the hospital?
Yeah, I suppose. Or just, like, yeah.
Well, I would imagine it's,
well,
like,
wait, we have sort of gotten this twisted, because now the cats want to stay in a place.
Correct.
As opposed to breaking out of a place.
Yes.
Until
they realize that they've made a terrible mistake.
Like, and then those, they need to break out.
Like, you
okay,
know, like,
okay.
He keeps sort of being like, guys, this is the golden life. Just, like, stay here at the vets. And then it's revealed that, well, you know, like, if a cat stays here longer than 4 weeks, insert bad thing happens.
Yeah.
They get put down.
And
or no, that goes to a shelter. Yeah. Would be the logical.
I guess so.
Step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden it's, as I was saying, guys, we need to get out of here tonight. Like we need to stage a breakout right now. And everyone is kind of going, but you just told me to, you know.
You've been saying for the past 3 weeks not to leave.
Yeah.
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 Interesting. Interesting.
Right, I think that it needs to be something like that. You kind of have like a cat con man,
mm-hmm.
and then the cat con man needs to convince all the other previously conned cats to go back against the con. Don't
Sounds
ask
like
me
a,
to repeat that again.
A very conniving cat.
Yes.
Okay, I wanna figure out sort of the why this cat doesn't, because presumably if they're at a vet, then they have a home.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right.
But I would say that maybe it's like this, just to get it cleared up, that like there are shelters that have veterinary services. So I would imagine that like what would be verisimilitude is like pet control, animal control sort of finds this cat, brings it to the shelter where it's in the veterinary, you know, because it's probably mangy and got like, you know, whatever, fleas and stuff. So it's getting cared for there. But it could be a kill shelter where it's like if like after it's healed, they start a timer. And if it's not adopted in like a month or three, they're going to, you know, put it down.
So right.
I don't know if we want to go there for this.
If it's animated,
family
I want to steer away from all of that and be like, this is a cat that doesn't like another cat that's just come into their home. Like have it sort of be a stand-in for a new sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And then that cat goes to vet and tries to con its way into staying at the vet where all like the other cats who think he's super cool are. And like, Tufty or like the new cat that's at home that really, you know, they don't get on. He doesn't have to deal with kind of a thing. And like that sort of the emotional underlying stakes is not wanting to deal with a home situation.
Sure.
But at a certain point, you know, it something happens, you know, there is some consequence where it necessitates them breaking out and heading back to Quilty's home or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that all tracks. That all
just to
makes
make it
sense.
A little bit more family friendly.
Sure.
I mean, until we have, you know, all the money from
although we'll see how Cats does.
Right.
Yes.
yeah, until Hungry Hungry Hippos plays out and uh-huh. we can self-finance this, I think maybe this is a more saleable direction. That won't scar children.
Right. Yeah, no, like, it's like the, the DreamWorks version of this idea, not like the Jan Svankmajer version of this idea.
Presented by Quentin Tarantino version of the idea.
Don't joke. He would present a Svankmajer something.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, though. Okay. Let's recap. In this new version, what is the problem with him staying at the vets for a long time? Like, sort of, what is the turn? Where they need to, instead of being in, need to be out.
I think it can still be that at some point you go away and like, right. It could right. be unclear whether it's like
a shelter or.
Oh, it could be as simple as like, oh, we found someone to take in this cat from the street that we don't think has an owner. It's someone in California. And all of a sudden they're getting shipped across away. The country. And that makes them kind of reckon with, I don't actually want to be without my owner. Like, I'm mad at them for this whole new cat business, but like.
But they're great.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, maybe I just didn't give this other cat a chance.
Right. Like something like that can come up.
Ooh, and the new cat can come, like, can be like the source of information for they're going to ship you across the country. And so suddenly they have to work together.
I see. Sure. Yeah, this is very real. Man, like, there's a very real, like, Secret Life of Pets thing happening here.
There is, yeah.
Homeward Bound, even, if they have to work together.
A little bit, yeah. Kind of this, like, you know, forced antagonistic road trip.
Yes.
From the vets back love to the
good,
apartment.
Love a good forced antagonistic road trip.
I know, right?
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
2 minute warning.
What is this called? The cat's meow.
Quilty's con.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Back to the actual story.
I'm glad I killed that.
Presumably it has a happy ending.
Yeah, one would assume.
Yeah, cat con, but then that implies maybe Comic-Con, conference,
sure.
convention.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't want to write a check. We can't cash.
They have to run through a convention at some point, an anime convention.
Right.
Yeah.
But unlike Hungry Hungry Hippos, which has a bleak as fuck ending.
Yes.
This has a... uplifting, heartwarming.
Where,
ending.
Like, they all of the cats that escape are then adopted in and they all become an adorable cat family.
Right. Because in their absence, the owner has made millions of dollars overnight and can now afford a gigantic estate that could be filled with cats.
Yes.
Instead of like a tiny, tiny, tiny Harlem apartment.
Exactly.
Where one cat was a tight fit. Two, there's only room for one cat in this apartment.
Right. This is very Secret Life of Pets.
It is. We need to kind of like workshop this to steer it in a different direction.
In a slightly different direction.
And I think like the big thing is that like they need to be at the vets longer. It needs to be more of a prison break movie rather than a road trip movie.
Yeah. No, because I mean the breakout happens like at the turn. So that's like, you know, height of the second act.
Yeah, I think they need to be there longer. I think there needs to be sort of like more obstacles in getting out of the it needs to be more modeled on The Great Escape.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that's time.
Oh, wow. With a very energetic alarm that really wants us to know.
That it is time.
It is time.
Indeed. And we will keep workshopping this Secret Life of Pets ripoff. totally original.
Yes.
Family-friendly feature after this break.
And welcome back, everybody, to No Bad Ideas for our third example of human ingenuity gone terribly, terribly wrong. Are you guys ready for our third bad idea?
Yes.
So ready.
Okay. So I will caveat this bad idea a little bit. That it's one of those that when you read the entire article, some part of you goes, oh, I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. This is maybe not as bad of an idea. Mm-hmm. However, at first blush, it sounds truly terrible. And I think that it will be good fodder for a story. So I'm going to bring it in anyway, knowing that like the more you learn about it, I think a little bit the less of a bad idea it is. But okay. At first glance,
okay. I'm ready to make a snap judgment.
All right. So set your snap judgment to high. As I bring you this Reuters.com story, mm-hmm. the headline of which reads, Dying for a Better Life. South Koreans fake their funerals for life lessons.
Man, South Koreans,
wait,
like staff actors at their weddings, they're faking their funerals. They're playing lots of StarCraft. What's going on in South Korea?
This is also like straight out of Arrested Development. Which you haven't seen.
I don't think that I saw that
You've
far.
Seen.
I have seen. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
All right. So the article reads, a South Korean service is offering free funerals, but only to the living. Dozens took part in the event, from teenagers to retirees, donning shrouds, taking funeral portraits, penning their last testaments, best of all, lying in a closed casket for around 10 minutes.
No.
University student Choi Jung-kyu said his time in the coffin helped him realize that too often he viewed others as competitors. Quote, when I was in the coffin, I wondered what use that is, end quote, said the 28-year-old, adding that he plans to start his own business after graduation rather than attempting to enter a highly competitive job market. South Korea ranks 33rd out of 40 countries surveyed in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development's Better Life Index. Many younger South Koreans have high hopes for education and employment, which have been dashed by a cooling economy and rising joblessness. Quote, it is important to learn and prepare for death at a young age, said Professor Yu Eun-seol, a doctor at Asan Medical Center's pathology department, who has written a book about death. There follows some statistics about average death rates in South Korea. But
like, what is the purpose of this study?
So here we go. Funeral company Hyowon began offering the living funerals to help people appreciate their lives seek forgiveness and reconciliation with family and friends.
This has nothing to do with Arrested Development. This is not what I thought.
This is so extreme. This is so extra. Continue.
I thought this was teaching people a lesson like, you know, I'll show you to leave the like milk out of the fridge.
No. No, like this is about like getting a chance to like see
right.
like what your funeral would be like. Young Moon, who heads the healing center, said he is heartened when people reconcile at a relative's funeral, but is saddened they wait so long. Quote, we don't have forever, he said. That's why I think this experience is so important. We can apologize and reconcile sooner and live the rest of our lives happily. There follows a kind of lengthy set of testimonials about people about how this helped them, including some actually pretty interesting and pretty surprising things about people who have been dissuaded about doing themselves harm after using these services, which is where I start to be kind of like, well, not so bad of an idea.
Hey.
But first glance, people being able to attend their own fake funerals, a company that provides a preview of your funeral, 10 minutes on the clock. Tell me a story.
So did you guys watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
When you were little?
Yes.
I was too scared. I mean, I was also too scared. So my brother liked it. Yeah. So it was on the television
sometimes.
I also
didn't read Goosebumps, but go on.
Goosebumps is great. Highly recommend Goosebumps. But there is an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark where there's this kid who is obsessed with death.
Uh-huh.
And his like bedroom is sort of decked out
with death.
And like he wears like a suit and sort of lies in the bed like he's lying in a coffin and ends up getting sort of the chance to like jump straight to the afterlife. And then,
oh wow,
like he, and I don't remember this exactly, but gets like this sort of hospital bracelet that like in a week you'll just be sort of vaporized and end up in the afterlife. And he starts becoming a ghost and then panics and realizes that this is not what he wants and he needs to actually live life and not be so obsessed with death.
Yeah.
And this reminded me of that, and also strikes me as like something that can go really, really well, or, you know, sort of open a floodgate of fear and anxiety about death. And so I am a little bit interested in a story where like this is the start and it goes a little bit wrong.
Okay. Okay.
And then, you know, the story is figuring out however to help this person come to terms with not just death, but life kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Because on its, you know, for what it is, like the sort of really radical intervention to sort of force people to confront their own mortality, like that seems pretty neat and also and also horrifying, and also something that's sort of contained within itself. Like I don't know how to add to that idea on its own.
Right, my mind goes to like, what was that recent movie, Downsizing, with
Matt
Damon?
Yeah,
I'm like, what's the death version of that? Where
right,
there's like a startup that comes up with some like crazy simulation,
mm-hmm,
but then it's like it forces you to take a more creative imagination of what death is. Like there's some kind of afterlife that can be simulated that isn't just lying in a coffin being like, oh my god, at some point it's just going to be oblivion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw the most recent episode of Watchmen, no spoilers, there's this like very passing moment about death between a parent and children,
it, yeah,
that was like blew me away and I needed more ice cream immediately. But anyway, that's as far as I got.
There's actually a new comic that I think is being written by Chip Starsky, and that's how I know about it, called Afterlift, where there's a Lyft driver who can travel into the afterlife.
Oh, damn. Lyft like the elevators?
Like the rideshare service.
Yeah. Oh.
but anyway, maybe there's something in like simulating the actual act of simulating the funeral, like sort of a Tom Sawyer kind of a service that sort of like helps you adjust your life so that your funeral will be awesome. Like it can simulate what your funeral is at any point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sort of satisfied with that, then it can sort of give you sort of hints for how to move your life towards like the best version of your sending off or something. Like, I don't know.
Okay. Here's a question that might be helpful. Should this be about someone that is using this service or about the people that is providing?
I was just going to say, I see like an arc just kind of asserted itself in my mind of like the faith healer style person that's touring the world, sort of like take music out of Johnny Cash, you know, just like a biopic about like the lady, gentleman, or anything, you know, anybody in between or beyond that's basically proselytizing this like practice, mm-hmm, of lie in a coffin and get your life back.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe their trials and tribulations behind the stage and then like the image they present
right
on stage. I don't know.
It's or like, even like, you know, someone that is like, they want to be a writer, but they can't write anything good except they get hired to write plug and play copy for people's eulogies.
Mm-hmm.
And they discover that they're unbelievable at that.
Writing eulogies.
And for people that they don't know, just sort of these like, you know, very generic things that somehow are unbelievable. And then it's kind of them sort of trying to cope with, I just discovered that I have this very bizarre talent, but it means that I need to be surrounded by fake death at all times,
or even real death at all times. I think at that point that's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So it's like the company in her that like writes letters for other people.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like impersonal, personal.
Yeah. This like person who, you know, has been going through life being a writer, also with the gnawing fear that the novel everyone thinks they have in them, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anything in them.
Right. It's just a void.
It's you know, that they just are like, they have a facility with words, but the meaning eludes them. And they get hired to like become, oh, we can call it ghostwriter because it's about
you. Oh, it's so good! Oh, damn!
Shabam!
Writes itself.
I know, man. And so they get hired to become a eulogy writer for this service that provides this.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if there is a social media company that has all of your data and has known you your entire life, probably they'd be pretty good at making a eulogy for you. That's just a different. That's a different
Facebook's
tangent.
New market. vertical.
And discover that they're amazing at it. But suddenly, like someone who has been so focused and afraid of the future and things that they might do in the future now has to reckon with people whose futures have run out.
Right.
And how it affects them and their relationships and all of that.
Interesting.
That's dark. And I love it.
Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg.
Don't call us.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Depends how much money is involved. No, but maybe.
Good to know.
I'm just saying he's got billions.
Okay. Does the story begin when they've already been at this job for like 2 years? Is it and they need to get shaken out of it? Is the story about them kind of like entering the job and learning to be good at it and learning to eventually be satisfied by, hey, look, it's not next great American novel, but I am reaching and affecting people with my writing.
I feel like there has to be the dark night of the soul. Like, at the very least, I feel like, and this may just be me working out my personal demons, but just like the, like, your life can't be run by this like faceless, gigified corporation that's just forcing you to confront death all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is really your art, like, let it be your art and your business and, like, you know, go forth and be, you know.
Here's what I will, I'm as I so often do, I'm thinking about the Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that, like, this is, we see someone sort of sign up for this and fall into this with the idea that, like, the money I make for this in a year will be enough for me to do.
Right. After this, I can go bugger off and write a novel because I will have 3 years of money in the bank.
Exactly. And so I've just got to sort of grin and bear it for this year. And we follow them in the film, I assume, over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll fall into it and then it will become like all that they do. And they, you know, won't be sort of doing the pre-planning for the novel, won't be showing up for the writing group that they're a part of.
And there's probably even an element of they start the job and they're not immediately great at it.
Yeah, probably.
And people and someone else is kind of like, what do you think you're not great at it? You're coming in here and you have so contempt for it. You're not putting in any effort. Like, this shit is hard.
Yeah. This is not just plug and play. There's actual craft to this.
Right.
And then they get very good at it. And I think, unlike The Devil Wears Prada, it could be a situation where they sort of go off and do this on their own. They don't have to sort of move away from the genre of writing entirely, or they could decide that, you know what, I'm obsessive about this and I need to go be doing something else.
Well, you know what it is? They are obsessed with a writer, say, what's a novelist? Ian McEwan.
Sure.
They want to be just like Ian McEwan.
Right.
And then, like, you know, they're at the very, very end of the year when they're just about ready
Ian McEwan
comes in his fake funeral.
That's right.
And they have to write kind of a eulogy for him. And at that point, there's sort of this kind of like, okay, am I doing this to impress this person so that they'll give me like a job or give me a connection or something? Or am I doing it for the actual good of the thing itself?
Right. And the act of doing that and getting the response, whatever the response is from Ian McEwan, I think probably drives them away from it. is my instinct.
Well, that's going to have to be the instinct because that is time, unfortunately.
All right.
So, yes, the reaction. Ooh. Ian McEwan steers him away from the death ship.
That was hey, Charlie Booker.
Idea. Yeah.
Call, like, Mark Zuckerberg, don't call us. Charlie Booker, please do.
Yes.
Yes, we have, clearly we have a lot of things that we can say about these things.
Yeah, it's true.
And clearly I think we're going to have more bad ideas to work on sometime soon. So thank you for joining us for this journey into badness, and we'll see you back next week.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.